a broke single mom who'd been fired from Denny's go on to become America's most sought-after real estate investor. Hold on to your seats as you are about to go on a wild ride that results in you being a superstar. Dwan Van Twyberg, a.k.a. Dwanderful, is about to blow your mind. The most wonderful real estate podcast ever promises to be your go-to podcast for everything that life has to offer. You are entering the Dwanderful Zone. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the most wonderful real estate podcast ever. I'm your host, Dwan Van Twyberg. I'm America's most sought-after real estate investor, and I am so excited that you are here with me today. Our motto at Dwanderful is people before profits. So if that's something that resonates with you, you're at the right place. I'm your girl, and I got a great guest for you today. If you'd like to receive some free ebooks, go to Dwanderful, D-W-A-N-D-E-R-F-U-L, dwanderful.com and opt in, and I have 4 free ebooks for you. But as you can see today, I have a guest. So we like to call this session Inside the Minds of Today's Millionaires, and we just get to meet people and pick their brain and find out what's happening, and hopefully they can share a little golden nugget that could help you advance your career as well. So today, you are my wicked smart man. So I have Elsie Flunner. So how are you today, Elsie?
I'm fantastic. I'm super excited to be here.
So today, you're the wicked smart man. You're the man of the hour.
All right. I you know, one thing that I love is the camera. So I'm good.
I get all my stuff, get all my lights. It's like, I love being on film. And so what we like to do is we start off where we just have a toast, just like, you know, welcoming as we were sitting around together having a drink. So I am drinking the most exciting water today.
Got it. Yeah, same. I just got okay. The nice good old cheers. H2O.
Cheers. Nice to meet you. And everybody listening, just take a deep breath, shake off whatever you got, so that you can open your mind and your ears and your heart to hearing what we have to talk about today. So, Elsie, what we like to do is have you tell us in a brief summary, like 2 or 3 sentences, who you are, what you do, and how we can get in touch with you. And then I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions and find out how you became Elsie Flunnard.
Cool. So I'll try to be a good guest here and give you this in 3 sentences. So my name is Elsie Flunnard. I am the mayor of Podcast Town. And what I do is I help business owners grow revenue through podcasting. And to reach me is pretty easy. LinkedIn is my number one platform, or you can email me at mayor@podcasttown.com. I'm sorry, mayor@podcasttown.net.
.net. I know, I noticed that last night. So you are the mayor of Podcast Town.
Yes.
No, I got to tell you, I love it. I saw the last one and I thought, mayor of Podcast Town? Like, is that a town?
Yes, it actually is. And the way we build our business is we call our clients residents. So we don't call them clients or accounts. They're residents. And we treat them like residents. We look out for them. We help them grow their business. We help them grow their show. And it's a really cool marketing play. But it's really at the heart of who we are as an organization. We really try to partner with our residents to make sure that they are served well.
I feel like I want to be a resident of the podcast town, because then I can say, hey, I know the mayor. Like, you know the mayor. Like, would I get a key to the city?
I don't know. We keep those for special residents.
Oh, Lord. Now the pressure's on. I have to become the most special so I can get a key to the city. Ah, that's funny. So I like that. So mayor of podcast town. So so you work with people like me that are building their shows and building their podcasts. So now you probably have a lot of really great ideas and things for just any kind of entrepreneur or any kind of an investor, and things that can help them take their business to the next level. So one of the reasons I like to interview so many diverse type of people is my podcast is about real estate investing. But if it's always just that thing, there's so many more to being an entrepreneur than just that one thing. So I bring on all kinds of guests. People never know what they're going to get when they tune in on Thursdays. And so I am excited to have you here today. So first of all, tell me, how old are you?
I'm 41. I'll be 42 this year.
41. Well, you look amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Everyone's so young these days. It's like, I just turned 64. It's like, what happened here? So, all right. And you are in, would you say Minnesota?
Right outside of Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee.
Wisconsin.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
I have to write down. So I take a lot of notes. So this way I can kind of find out, like I have my little note with all my little questions. So being the mayor of Podcast Town, tell us a little bit about, like, someone like me. I have a podcast. I'd like my podcast to be bigger. How would you help? We'll use myself as an example today. How would you help me grow my business?
Grow your business or grow your podcast? Because those aren't necessarily the same thing.
Podcast.
Your podcast specifically. What we do is we're a little bit different. Some people think that the more downloads they get, the more their podcast will yield business results. Not always the case. We right. kind of approach it from the conversion perspective, right? So I would rather you have 1,000 downloads and 50% of those people become clients or on your email list or engage with you on social than just 1,000 people that download but never do anything. So a lot of the work that I do is really helping reset that mindset from people thinking that, especially B2B, right? People who are in business thinking that they need downloads. Really what you need is conversions. So once you figure out that conversion method and you nail that down and it's really efficient, predictable, and you can calculate, then you scale, right? As opposed to how do I get more downloads? It's really how do I get more conversions and then figure out how that happened and then do that again.
That is a really good way to think of that, because I do look at my downloads every single day.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mean to say that there's anything wrong with that.
But you're right, because it's like with any business. If you're having all kinds of people come to your website or listen to your podcast or come to anything and they don't opt in or become someone, you know, like a customer, a person, a client in your database, so you can't let them know about the products or the programs or the show or whatever you have. So that is really a good point, because I know all kinds of people in the real estate investing world. They're like, you know, people see my website, they see this, and they're like, they don't opt in or they don't do this. Or like people like me that like have a podcast, I see, oh, wow, I got all these downloads, but I didn't get people opting into my website. So there must be a missing link. And I think you can share that with us today.
Well, that's where I usually start. Right. With that mindset. And then what we do is we just work backwards. We say, OK, well, how do you know that you have a listener? And then most people say, well, I don't know. And then we say, OK, well, first, let's figure out how many listeners you have. Right. So because downloads doesn't really tell you that. And so what we help people with is that process. Right. We say, OK, well, if you have 100 people on your email list, and you send an email to them after every episode, assuming that that's something that you do, and you have a link in your email somewhere, and 50 people click the link, and you got 50 downloads that episode. It's reasonable to deduce that you probably have about 50 listeners that are listening to your podcast. And so we start there. We say, okay, well, we know that this works for these 50 people. How do we get them deeper into your world, into your ecosystem? Is there an opt-in? I heard you mention you have free ebooks.
Free ebooks, yeah.
Is there something that we could give them that will entice them to not only continue to open your emails and click on your link, but to engage with you? Are you connected with these 50 people on social media? If not, why not? Do you engage with these 50 people on social media? So all of those things that's the work of really growing an audience. And not necessarily looking at just the downloads. And then you just take your actions and say, okay, I did this for a month and my listeners grew by 100%. So now I have 100 listeners.
Okay.
So now you take that data and you do stuff with that data. You say, okay, well, I know I have 100 opt-ins. What's the next step in the funnel? What do I want them to do next? And then you just continue to build that out. I always tell people we like to do that first before you launch a podcast. But mm-hmm. I realize that most people, they don't do that first. They launch the podcast and then they figure out how to monetize it later. We always teach folks how to think about how you're going to monetize it first, that customer journey, what actions you want people to take, what's that path. Then you launch your show, you build it to fit that path. So so to answer your overarching question, really the answer to that is you really get intentional about understanding the behavior and you want to build your show to actions, right? So you want people to engage and act.
I like it. And you know, that would really apply to anyone in really any kind of business. It's all about customers. And you know, I always tell people all the time and they're like, oh, you know, I don't know how to get customers. And I'm like, listen, if you buy anything online, if you go to a restaurant, you go anywhere, you get emails, take a survey. How was this? How was that? How was customer service? Like they engage to get you in, especially I buy a lot of clothes online. I get 5,000 things afterwards. Here's a $10 coupon. Here's a $5. Here's 20% off. How was this? How was that? How was the fit? And it's like they engage the heck out of you because they want you to buy more clothes, you know? But I think a lot of business people, whether they're real estate trainers or they're podcasters or they're just local real estate investors, they don't really engage and always really get their customers, not what's what I'm looking for, like really get the customers engaged with them so that when the customer is like, hey, I need to up my podcast, or I want to listen to a podcast, or I want to work with this person, you want to kind of get yourself in the forefront, I think, of people's minds.
Yes. Yeah. I think the other thing is, especially in the B2B world, you're running a business. And so the podcast becomes, if you do it well, it becomes a part of that business. But again, going back to that mindset piece, is you have to approach it as if it's a part of your business development strategy. Because if you don't, then it's just another thing to do, right? And you know what happens when things get busy, the things that are just things to do tend to get done last. And so I always try to tell people, make it a part of your business development strategy. That way it makes it real and it makes it an investment and not an expense.
I like it. Okay. So how long ago did you start your podcast?
I started technically in 2015. I launched the first episode in 2016. I'm a planner. It took me a while to hit go. So coming up on 7 years now.
So, well, mine's on 5. So I was, I feel like now I was a little bit behind the curve because, you know, I was getting asked to be guests on all these shows all the time. And like I did like 100. They're like, when are you going to have me on yours? I'm like, I don't have one. So, but you know what I did? I found a guy out. I found a lot of people online, but I found a guy specifically, I think his name is Colin. It's sad. I can't remember. Colin somebody. And he had like a 30-day how to start your podcast course. And I thought, oh, you know what? I'll do that. I offer people a real estate investing course. And I always tell people if you'll follow the course, you'll make money. So I signed up for this class and it's 30-day. It's like 30 classes in 30 days and there's homework. So every night I'm on my thing. My husband's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing my podcast homework. I said, I signed up for a class, but I'm not going to be like a typical student who signs up for a class and then does 3 days of the homework, and then they get busy with their kids, and they never finish, and then they never do it. So every day, I'm sitting there, I'm working, and my husband's like, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I already told you, I'm doing a 30-day class. I got 30 days with the homework. I got to write a bunch of crap. I'm doing my thing. And so every day, it's like, are you going to do the whole thing? And it's like, I am going to do the whole thing, because I try to teach people, if you want to do whatever, find out who does it, who's already doing it, learn from them, take their class, buy their course, whatever it is, but you got to do it. You have to implement it. And then you got to take action. You got to do all the stuff. So I did all of the whole class. And then I was like, okay, so I need a camera, and I need a mic, and I need this, I need that. And I got all the stuff ready. And I made my little questions and my outlines and did all my different things. And I started it. And I was like super excited because when I started, I felt like I was prepared. But what I need is I need to grow it to the next level, which is where I think you come in.
Yeah, I think podcasting has changed in the past 5 to 6 years. It used to be when I would go to networking meetings, I would go to these business meetings, huh? And they would say, you know, you stand up and you say what you do. I would stand up, right, and I would say, you know, my name is Elsie. At the time, I had my only show was Enterprise Now. Say, you know, I'm the host of the Enterprise Now show, a podcast. And they would say, what is a podcast? You know, now it seems like everybody has a podcast. It's not this novel, so unique thing now. And so you have to do a little bit more now in order to stand out and grow. And so part of it is, again, just really understanding your unique method, your unique thing that makes you, and really honing in on that and using your show as a relationship builder and mm-hmm. as a way to display or expand on your, not only your business, but who you are as a business owner and entrepreneur.
How many podcasts do you think there are right now?
Well, I could tell you with a degree of certainty, there are about 4 million. But of those 4 million,
I thought it was 5. There's 4 million?
4.2, 4.3-ish.
Okay, and that's a lot. Think about that. That's so many. And I want mine to be number one.
But think about this.
Like, there's 4 million. You'd be happy if you're in the top 1,000. I'm like, no, I want to be number one.
But think about this. Think about this, DeJuan. In comparison to blogs and YouTube channels, mm-hmm. it's not even close, the ratio of saturation. Of those 4.2, we'll call it 4.3 million podcasts, only 60% of them are active. And of the 60% that are active, a certain percentage of those are not very good podcasts. So it's not as crowded as it seems, I would say. And I think, you know, I would use the analogy. When I graduated college, I went to school for electronics. Okay. And when I graduated, there were hundreds of thousands of other people who graduated with the exact same degree that I had. And never once did I think, well, there's so many people graduating with this degree. How am I going to get a job? Exactly. Never crossed my mind, because I knew nobody's going to go to the same city that I'm going to go to. Nobody has the same personality that I have. Nobody approaches it like I do. And so same thing with your podcast, especially if you're a business owner. You know, you already know your customers. You know what they like. They like you for a reason. And so that's your tribe.
They like me because I'm wonderful.
Exactly.
go ahead though. 4.2. Wow, that's a lot. I was thinking it was a little bit higher. 60% are active. So active would mean, in your mind, people that are regularly putting out content.
Correct. Yeah.
Because I know so many people that go, oh, I did 5 podcasts with a lot of work. I quit. It's like,
yes.
So many.
There's a lot of those.
So many, right?
Yep.
So many. So it's like, we'll just, keep going. Like, I'm coming into my 5th year and I still do it all the time. And, sometimes, things do get happening and you miss them. I've missed a month here and there, but always because of like a medical issue or something. I had to have a surgery, like a couple things like that. But man, I've been just like, I'm going to hang in there until I'm number one. So you can help me get there. I always tell everyone on my show, listen, like, hey, do me a favor. If you like the show today, if you learned anything, if you laughed, if you had a good time, subscribe, share it with some friends, like, follow, give me a 5-star review. So I'm always encouraging people to do all that stuff because I do want them to stay engaged with me and I want them to keep coming back and falling in love with my wonderful brand and all my funness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's funny because when I was trying to think of a podcast name, I was like, well, my name is Dwan. And I thought, how do I do a play on my name? So then I was like, so I don't even know. I was talking to someone trying to like make something off my name. So I thought I could take like Dwan and Wonderful and be Dwanderful. And then like on TikTok, my handle over there is Dwantastic, like, fantastic. And then like my students, I call them Dwandonaires instead of millionaires. So it's like I made this little whole vocabulary off my name. I thought, I wonder if people are going to think like, how conceited is this woman? Got a whole thing just based off her name. I was like, Well, why not? Someone has to recognize, you know, name recognition, branding. It's all part of the deal. So I got my flamingos and all my fun stuff, got my hair. And I was like, I'm just going to just go all about my name.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. It's fun.
And now you can put it into Wonderful on Google, and there's like just pages, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages. It's like, that was a good idea. That was the hardest part, was coming up with a name and coming up with, like, for my show, you'll hear at the end, I do a little sign off, like a little phrase I say at the end of every show. And the two hardest things with the whole thing was thinking of a name and thinking of a sign off, which probably to most people, it's like, that was what you were. It's like, dude, I've been investing for 30 years. I have a wealth of knowledge on real estate investing. Those were the things I was stuck on. Isn't that funny? It's like, but now I did it. And I was like, yeah, there you go. There you go, girl. Just do yourself. Mm-hmm. All right. So when you were younger, like when you were like 12, 13, what was that LZ doing?
12, 13. I was big into sports, played a lot of sports. I loved music at that time. So I was making music and performing it. And 13. Wow. I had, at that point in life, I had met my would-be wife.
You already met your wife?
Following her around. Being your typical 13-year-old kid.
Were you working, earning money, doing side jobs?
Not yet. I started my first job when I was 14, I believe.
What was your first job?
I worked at a drug distribution company. They did like prescription drugs with my mom. And I remember because that summer I was saving up for some music equipment. I wanted a karaoke machine and a keyboard. And she didn't buy it for me. She said that I had to work and earn the money and buy it. So I worked with her that summer. And then at the end of the summer, I was able to buy my microphone, my keyboard and karaoke machine and all that good stuff.
Your karaoke machine. How cute, though. That is cute. You know, it's interesting to always see what people were doing like when they were young, because a lot of people already at that young age, they were already ambitious. And I find that when I interview lots of different people and lots of different, genres of things and successful people, almost all of them, even at that young age, were already thinking about like, hey, I really like this, whatever it is. And they were working towards something even at a young age. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of men that I interview were all into sports. What sports were you into?
I did basketball and cross country.
Wow. So I'm 5'10", and I was in high school in the 70s. So they put me on the girls' basketball team, but I was not really that super coordinated and not that good. But I was actually at one point, I was the tallest person in the entire high school. And I know that 5'10 doesn't seem like tall, but in the 70s, that was super tall, especially for a girl. Every school picture, I'm in the back row with the guys. So there was like a minute, I was the tallest person in my grade, and I was in basketball, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm tall, I'm gangly, I'm awkward, I'm in basketball. It's like, why would anyone think this is a good idea? But I got good at it, and I got, I got good at all the stuff. But yeah, I was just like, immediately, you're going to be on the girls' basketball team. I was like, no, I don't want to play sports. I'm not athletic. I want to sing or dance or act or something, but not that. So mm-hmm. I also played basketball, but it was really good for me. It was good for me. So do you have like a favorite memory of that, like 12, 13, 14? Do you have like one thing that you look back and you're like, that was such a great thing?
Yeah, I would say the first time I performed in front of people, just because it was one of those moments where it was like, okay, yeah. Microphone, me talking in it, that's my jam.
Oh, and what did you perform? So you sang?
I was a rapper, and then I was a singer, and then I did both, and then I went back to singing. So I've kind of done a little bit of both over the years.
So your first performance, did you rap?
Yeah, it was a rap performance.
Oh my God, that's so much fun. What did you rap?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. That was a really long time ago. I have no clue.
That's so fun. Did you write your own stuff or you?
Yeah, it was an original song. We were in a group. My name was Fresh. It was my nickname. And so we performed it. It was at a school dance. And I remember like after everybody kind of running up to us and just kind of, you know, supporting. And it was just, again, one of those moments. I kind of like this.
I think this is something that one of your great memories is performing. Yeah, my people would never get on a stage in front of people.
Yeah.
For you to have the courage.
Even at a young age, I absolutely love, like I tell people all the time, my passions all involve a microphone and me talking into it, whether it's podcasting, speaking, singing, it's home. It's my comfort zone.
That is so much fun. Gosh, at 14, I was so shy in high school. I couldn't imagine being up on a stage trying to sing or anything at that age. I was so shy. That's why I think on like basketball, it's like, oh my God, everyone's staring at me on the court. That is so funny. So then when you're a little bit old, excuse me, let's say you're like 21, 22, 23, where's your mind at now? Like, where are you thinking about going in your world at that point?
Yeah, by that time. So two things. When I was young, I always knew I wanted to be a father, a husband and a father. And I knew I wanted to own my own business. And okay. My plan, my strategy was I knew I needed to go to college. And I knew that I wanted to do it long enough so that I could do my own thing. So by 20, I was married already, 20, 21. And I was working toward doing my own thing and doing side gigs. At that time, I believe I had a record label. We did a record company. We did a lot of different things over the years. But if I remember correctly, around that time, that's what I was doing. I was still kind of in the music space. Being trying to be the best husband I could be. Hadn't had kids yet. But I was just kind of out there, going to school, being a husband and trying to figure out this entrepreneur business owner thing.
That is so cool. How old were you when you got married?
20.
20. How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two. Oh, my God. They're so, I love kids. How old are your kids?
My daughter's 16 and my son is 8.
Oh, that's a little space between kids right there.
Yeah.
I love kids. I've got grandkids. I got 4 grandbabies. It's like, oh my God, my world. They like melt my soul. All those teachers that say, if I knew grandkids was so much fun, I would have had them first. I'm like, that is so true. Because they're so cute. And they just worship you because you're their Mimi. It's like, my own kids didn't worship me like that. The grandkids do, though. I've had those kids. I can tell you, I've had these kids for a week. I've had them for a whole week of a spring break. I took them home last night, and I was like, I am so tired. I am past that, like, hey, all day long, 24/7. It's like, at 64, I'm like, you know what? 2-3 days, go home. A couple days, go home. But now, like, 7 whole days, and I had 3 of them, and I took one back, so couldn't take it. He's little, he's a boy, he's wild. And then I kept the girls, it's like, golly, I'm exhausted. I always say, you know, when you're in your child-rearing years, I think God gives you grace for the energy and what you need to do and be raising kids. But then when you, like, go a long time, all of a sudden those little ones, you're like, yeah, 2 or 3 days at a time, I'm good. Like, that's good. That's funny. So I love that. So you were like one to be a dad and a husband really young, which is really nice to see.
Yeah. No, for me, it was because it was something I didn't have. And I promised myself that I would do the best I could to provide that to my kids. And so, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, okay, this is what it is. Right. And what I can do is the best I can do when it's my turn. It's my turn at bat. So.
Yeah, not to brag on myself, but I was a good mom because I was like the Girl Scout mom, the brownie mom, the homeroom mom, the field trip mom, had all the kids at my house every weekend with the disco ball and like all the fun stuff because I really wanted to be like that really fun mom, but I also wanted all the kids at my house so I could watch what was happening. So it's like, no, y'all aren't going to go for weekends someplace else. Everybody's going to come here because I can see what's going on. Kitchens get a little older and, you know, all the crazy stuff that goes on now. It's like, you can't really trust your kids with anybody anymore, which is a shame that it's come to that. But it was kind of, you know, maybe getting that way a little bit in the 80s. I had my daughter in 88, I think. So a little bit in the 90s, people were starting to get a little bit more like, internet's out there. You read all this crazy stuff. Start keeping our kids closer. So I was like, no, I'm just going to help them at my house and be the fun mom. And now I'm the fun Mimi because I still have disco balls. We have dance parties. Like, same thing. My kids are like, I was like, no, I was that way with you guys too. But I was straight. I was a strict parent. Like, these are the rules. These are the curfews. You do these things. And if you don't, we're going to have some talks about that. So my kids don't sass. They don't back talk. They're like raised with respect. And it's still that way. So I love that about that. Okay. So now, so can you give like an actionable tip? So anyone that's listening to me, if they have their own podcast or they have their own business, what's an actionable tip someone could take to like, okay, I want to, like you, I want to get into the entrepreneurship side of things, but I don't really know where to start or what to do, where my mind is supposed to be. Like, what's the tip for someone that wants to become entrepreneurial?
Yeah, I would say the best way to build and start a business is to find a problem. And it's almost like if you take this concentric circles, right? You find the problem and you find where your skill set can meet and or solve that problem, or you put together a team that can solve that problem. That's always the best place to start. I know a lot of people say, well, follow your passion. That's decent advice, unless your passion the market won't pay you for your passion. Then you're just going to be really passionate and broke. So I always say, just make sure that the market is willing to pay you for what that passion is. But really, being observant and recognizing opportunity, understanding where the need is and filling that need. Really, entrepreneurship is as simple as that. You know, I bought water. Water is free. So somebody somewhere figured out that if you package it in a certain way and make it convenient and accessible, people will pay for water, something that they could otherwise find for free. So it's as simple as, again, finding a problem or challenge and providing a solution to that challenge.
Yeah, it's so funny about that because I grew up in the country and we drank out of the garden hose and tap water. And now I'm just like, oh, I don't want tap water. I have to have my water. And it's true. I spend so much money on bottled water, but it is true. You find a problem. But, you know, I like to think what you said about finding a problem and a skill set to solve it. Because, I listen to a lot of motivational speakers and like, find your passion. You can do anything. And I feel like that's not really good advice because you can't do anything. Like if I say, hey, I want to be a world-class basketball player on the men's team, that's my deepest desire of my soul, that's not going to happen. I'm a woman, first of all, and I'm not that tall. And at this point, of course, too old. But if I'm like, oh, I want to be a singer and my voice isn't that great, like you can't always, you're right. I feel like when you just say you can do anything, you can do anything. You can't really do anything. I agree. Find something that you like, that you're passionate about. And that's a good idea. Find out what is a problem that you can solve with your skill set. And then I think that will become like that becomes your thing.
And I think, too, I've gotten better over the years through trial and error of understanding that sometimes it's not, I don't have to always be the doer, right? In some of my businesses, I'm not even involved. Like, I'm not the person. That's not my skill set. My skill set is identifying the problem, building the team, getting the funds to pay the team, give them the resources that they need to solve the problem. So some of it is really just being honest with yourself. Like, you may not be able to be a world-class basketball player on the men's team, but maybe you can start a team that is in the men's. So there's always a way to find the thread of where that passion is. So I would say it's not that you can't do anything. It's just that sometimes what it ends up looking like might be different than what you thought.
You know, I really like that, finding the thread. Because I really like that. That is like one of those things. Like, that's like a really, that's like one of those profound things to me. Because you can find a thread of what it is that you do like, and you can turn it into something. Mm-hmm. You're right. That is really good. That is like great advice. I love that great advice. So let me ask you this. Who's your favorite band of all time?
Favorite band of all time? Does it have to be a band? Or can it just be a band? Oh, that's a good one. Favorite band?
Then you can tell me your favorite person of all time, but I like to hear what your band is. Everybody's got a band.
Well, can it just be an artist and not a band?
Okay. Who's your favorite artist of all time?
My favorite artist of all time is Alicia Keys.
Oh, man, I love her. I tell you what, when Alicia Keys, I mean, I still love her now. When she first came out, that whole song with that Falling in Love, it's like, oh, my God, this woman has a voice. Like, she's like an angel. I love Alicia Keys. I've loved her since, I don't even know, how long has she been out now? Like, decades?
2000,
yeah. Yeah, I still love her. I see her, I'm just like, she's so great. She's never lost her juju about singing and her music and her words. And, oh, I love Alicia Keys, too. That's awesome. What's your favorite food?
Hamburger.
A hamburger? Well, you know what? I am down for a good hamburger. That's probably one of my go-to things. I always have hamburger meat. So I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm going to eat. I always make a hamburger. I don't know if it's that good to eat as much red meat as I do. It's like a hamburger kind of like solves everything. And what is your favorite part? Do you have a favorite part of the day?
I love mornings. I love beginnings. I love the freshness and the newness of it. You get to start over, even when yesterday didn't go the way you thought it would. You get to do it again the next day.
I like that. What's your favorite thing to do with your kids?
Oh, man. So with my son, we have a thing. It's just your age-old wrestling. We call it warring. So he'll be like his own country, and then I'm in a country, and then we'll battle. So I love to do that with him. My daughter, we have a thing where every Marvel movie we go together and check it out. So we have our the way that we do it.
Marvel movies, is that what you said?
Oh yeah, any Marvel movie. My daughter and I, we check those out.
Well, I love that. That is so. You're signing me to do warring. So you're like countries. So does this like include like actual wrestling? Do you guys like have a game? Do you have tools and subjects? Like, what do you have? That sounds like a really fun thing.
All the above. We have little action figures, and sometimes it breaks out into a physical confrontation between him and I. We have Nerf guns that sometimes it's like an active, active thing. So it's a good time. It's a good time.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I used to love to laser tag with my daughter. We'd be outside and we'd be like getting on the ground, rolling under the bushes, hiding around the house, and I was like, people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm a laser tag outside, like in the dirt and the mud. You know what? It's really important, though. I think a lot of parents, I mean, I don't know, a lot of people I know that are parents, they just don't have like a thing with each one of their kids. I think that's part of the joy of having different kids is their personalities are so different. And to have a thing that like, that's your thing. And when they grow up, that'll be the thing they talk about. My dad and I did this and this and this and this. And then they'll take that with them. When they get to be my age, they'll be like, oh, I remember I used to do this and that with my dad or my mom. And that becomes the thing. Mm-hmm. I love that. And my little grandkids are young. My oldest one's 8. So we're just now. So I am the queen of the unicorns and she is the princess of the unicorns. So we have this whole unicorn life and world and we talk and we read and we do movies. Like we have this whole thing. I was like, because my hair is pink. So whenever I go to her party, she tells her friend, she's like, my Mimi is secretly a unicorn, but she has to stay in disguise as a human, but her pink mane, she can't keep it put away. So her lawyer would walk up to me and go, "Can I touch your hair?" Like, "Oh my God, are you really a unicorn?" I'm like, "Yes, I really am." So it's just so cute. Like, we have this whole little world. I mean, she is like, I'll say goodbye, my princess. She's like, "Goodbye, my queen." It's so cute. It's like, oh my God, my heart can't take it. It is
That's
just awesome. So it's cute. But kids remember. I remember that kind of stuff with my parents too, you know. So It is really important. Instead of just like, oh, let's all go do something as a family all the time. Kids need that one-on-one. And they need those special moments with their moms and their dads.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I love that. I love the fact that you guys have, like, countries.
we have flags and everything.
My gosh. That sounds like a good thing to do with my grandson. He is just like, tell you what, that kid is like nothing but boy. Sounds like a good thing to do with him. That's funny. That is funny. So now people reach you on LinkedIn. So they just go, they find Elsie Flanard on LinkedIn. Are you on?
Yep,
and that what is the, and the name of your podcast is?
Enterprise Now. So if you just search Elsie Flanard, there's not too many of us out there. I'll pop right up, and that's my main platform. We're on Facebook as well, but LinkedIn is my main platform.
Okay. And your podcast is just called Enterprise?
Enterprise Now.
Enterprise Now. Okay. I love that. Now, do you work with other entrepreneurs or just podcast people?
Most of my clients or residents are B2B. So these are business owners, entrepreneurs who have businesses, but want to leverage podcasts to grow their business and business development.
Okay. I love it. I love it. And so LinkedIn. Okay. So I take notes and I kind of go back and do a little bit of a review because I like to call this session Inside the Minds of Today's Millionaires, because, you know, there's all kinds of successful people in all kinds of genres of the world. But everyone that's successful, they always is a little bit of a common thread. And one of the things I find, like when you were young and you wanted to buy your musical system and you wanted to get out and perform and do things, everyone that I talked to, like every single person over the last 5 years that I've interviewed, no one was like, "Oh yeah, I was sitting home playing video games all day when I was a kid." They were all actively doing something that led to who they became as an adult. So that is definitely a common thread of every single person that I've interviewed. So I'm like, I'm waiting for someone to just say, "Oh yeah, I just sat around, drank beer, smoked weed, played video games, and decided one day to do something."
Let me know if you ever meet that person.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I think those people maybe did not go down the success path. But it's just interesting. That's why I like to find out what people were doing like 12, 13, 14. Because it seems like right in there, people are already thinking about a way to make money or a way to do something. Like all of the people that I've interviewed, and I have like 300 and something shows at this point, and everybody was getting creative and thinking about like, how do I do this for myself at around that age? That's why I like to ask that question. Okay, so Elsie Flanard, Enterprise Nowship Podcast. You are the mayor of Podcast Town. So I'm super excited to know the mayor. Mostly available on LinkedIn. Your customers are your residents, and I love that too. And you're based out of Milwaukee. Is that where you were raised? Also was in Milwaukee?
No, I'm originally from Southern Illinois, which is about 7.5 hours south of here. We landed in Wisconsin after college for work.
Okay. And let's see. You've had your podcast since about 2015. Went to electronic school. That's really cool. When you were young, you were into sports, basketball, music. You wanted to be a wife and a husband. I'm not a wife and a husband. You wanted to be a husband. And nowadays, you could be a wife or a husband. You wanted to be a husband and have kids, which I love that. Married at 20, which is so cool. And business dad, husband. And I like the thing you said about finding the thread. Like whatever your dream is, it might be like this giant thing that maybe it's not really physically possible for you to do this thing, but you can pull a thread out of that and you can weave that into something that is still like where your heart's at. I really like that. I'm going to use that. And you said for entrepreneurs is finding a problem, a skill set that will help solve that problem. And then recognizing, I wrote this so fast that I can't read my writing. Recognizing something. Oh, application to it. You're like Alicia Keys. hamburgers the mornings because everything is fresh and new. And you do warring games with your son, which is so fun. And Marvel movies with your daughter, which is so. Does she like want to be Wonder Woman or something?
No, she just she was a late adopter. I've been working on her for years to get her into the Marvel universe. But then one summer she binged and just caught up with everything. So she doesn't want to be the superhero. She just loves the watching the movies and the storyline.
So which superhero would you be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I would have, if you asked me that question 5 years ago, I would have said Superman. But nowadays, I'm feeling like a Black Panther kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie. I like Marvel movies, too. My husband's like, my husband just does not watch any of that I don't know, like superhero stuff. I like those kind of movies. I watch The Walking Dead. I watch all the dystopian things. And he's just like so not there with any of that stuff. So I'll be talking about a show where that the only thing I think he watched, I'm not even sure 100% was a Marvel, was all the Tony Stark things. Iron Man, he did watch all those because he loves Robert Downey Jr. So like he said, take that and then look at all these other movies that all like is so cool. And he's just not with it. So anything like that, I go see, I go with my kids. And when my grandkids get just a smidge older, I'll start doing that with them too. So I love all of those things like that. It's fun to think about like superheroes and all the people. I feel like all of us are a little bit of a superhero in our own way. Don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing that I love about, especially the way that Marvel does it, is they're human. But they have this thing, this it factor about them that makes them go over and beyond. And it reminds me of that thing that entrepreneurs have. You know, it's a different gear. It's a different motivation. It's a different driver that makes us, you know, not better, not worse, just different. There's something wired different in entrepreneurs that keeps us passionate, keeps us moving forward, even when it doesn't make sense. So so I think, again, that's the thing about superheroes that really I connect with, is that thing that makes them want to serve and to help other people and help other people get to be their best.
And they all do serve unless they're on the dark side. So what is your superpower?
I think my superpower is connecting. I love connecting people. I love seeing things in people that they don't see in themselves, and providing those resources and setting them up for success, right? So again, I don't necessarily need to have all the answers, but I know folks who got the answers. I know people who have the coaching program or who has the service or the product. And that's why I enjoy what I do so much, is because I get to meet so many different people and I get to help people succeed in what they do.
I love it. That is a good superpower. That's your it factor. You're the connecting. That's it. Okay. So again, folks, Elsie Flanard, find him on LinkedIn and find his podcast Enterprise Now. Also, both of us have a podcast, and our podcasts grow when you like and you subscribe and you share and you tell other people. Say, hey, this is a really great podcast. You need to listen in. So if you loved anything today, you laughed, you had a good time, I want you to go leave me a 5-star review. And I also want you to find Enterprise Now and also leave a 5-star review. Subscribe, share it with your friends. If you'd like a free book on how to get started with real estate investing called Flipping Your Way to a Fortune, go to dwanderful.com and opt in. And I'm on all the stuff, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. I'm on all the stuff. So just put in Dwanderful and you'll find me. So I want to thank you for being a guest today. You're super fun. And I did not know that you were the mayor of Podcast Town. So I was like, oh my gosh, I have so many questions. So this is good. So I do like all of our guests to leave us with a parting word of wisdom, but it has to just be a single word.
That's tough. One single word.
I know, it's hard, right?
Go.
You are the first person that ever used that word. What does go mean to you?
So go means, we talked about, you know, finding that thread. We talked about passion. We talked about, you know, entrepreneurship and superheroes and all that stuff. And the one thing that happens in all of that is you go. When you don't feel like it, you go. When you're not sure, go. When you're discouraged, go. So that's what it means. It's just go.
I love it. All right, guys, that is your word for the week. Go. And he gave you what his idea of the word go means. So use the word, think about what Elsie said about it, and maybe put your own spin on what the word go means to you. Because we have a word of the week. So that is the word of the week, everybody, is go. All right, so first of all, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed getting to know you and talking to you. And I'm excited I'm going to be on his show, too. So you all need to look for me over there on that show. And we're going to have a good time over there today. And I really enjoyed you. I love your heart. I love your spirit. And I think you're just like one of the coolest guys I've met.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a good time.
Thank you. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And remember that the truth is in the red letters. Ciao. Okay. Wow, wow, wow. How much fun did you just have? You listened to the most wonderful real estate podcast ever. Hey, do me a favor. If you love just one thing about the show, if you laugh, if you learn something, leave a 5-star review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Don't forget, next week, same bat time, same bat channel.